It's time for the Restoration Hour. It is myself, Aaliyah. It is Yusuf alongside me. And it is this wonderful time that we get to be together every week. Welcome, 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 welcome to you who are with us now and those who will join us later and those who are listening on YouTube, a special welcome to you as well. And we are so, so excited today to be with you because, you know, Abba Father was really just preparing our hearts for this word this evening. And so I pray that you'll just open up your heart, open up your spiritual ears, open up, you know, your spirit to receive what Abba Father wants to say to you today. You know, it is such a blessing to be here, and I must have a tiny little bit of a disclaimer before we begin today's, you know, message and getting to everything that we're going to be chatting about. Yusuf indeed has an ear infection, so it is quite difficult for him to hear most things. So I'm not sure how he's going to be this evening, but hopefully he's going to be perfect and hopefully he's going to be okay. And hopefully when I'm talking to him, he can actually hear me. And so, you know what, Yusuf, welcome to you. I hope that you can, you know, you are good this evening, and I just trust and pray, as we have been, that Yahweh will just bring healing for you. Amen.
Amen. Shalom, everybody, and like Leah says, it's great to be with you all on the Restoration Hour. To those of you that join us live and to those that will listen later, we wish you all welcome, and we are excited, as we are every week, just to be on the Restoration Hour. And even though I am a little bit deaf, I believe that this evening is going to be great. And I'm trusting that the Father will speak to your heart as He always does. I believe this time of the Restoration Hour is a time where Yahweh really wants to minister to us as people and share things with us in our hearts. So let's pray, and then let's get into this evening. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, for your love and your mercy, we thank you, Abba Father, that you are righteous, that you are King, and Father, that you desire to have an intimate relationship with us. You desire for us, Father, to hear your voice. You desire for us, Father, to understand who you are, Father, in the beauty of holiness. And Father, this evening we want to pray, Abba Father, that you will really speak to your people. Father, open our ears, open our hearts, Father. Help us to understand not only who we are, Father, but more and more of who you are, so that we can live a righteous, set-apart life, Father, for you, so that we can be a representation of Messiah Yeshua in this world. So we pray, Father, that you will guide us and lead us, and that your heart, Father, will become our heart in everything that we do. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's so incredible to consider that, you know, there is goodness, there is freshness, there is a fresh word, and there is the desire of Yahweh to always speak to us. And I believe that that desire is not just, you know, for us, you know, for teaching or for, you know, the body or for, you know, a word just from His word, so to say, about just general things. And it's a beautiful thing when we do open up the word of Yahweh, and when we receive a scripture for ourselves, scriptures that we can hold on to and promises that we can take for ourselves. But sometimes it's just that we can do that as a form of encouragement for ourselves. But then I want to ask you today, and it's a question that I believe Yahweh really wants us to receive today, and that He wants to just stir up in our hearts today, this reality of what is the now word of God for your life today? What is the now word of Yahweh for your life in the season you find yourself? And maybe that now word of Yahweh isn't just for you. Maybe the now word of Yahweh is through you for someone else. Now, I want to say that sometimes people go, oh, well, if I receive a word and I give it to someone else, that's, you know, prophecy. In an extent, yes, of course, you know, there can be a prophetic word that comes through you for someone else. It does make you a prophet. It doesn't make you a prophet in that office, but, you know, sometimes that can flow. But, you know, oftentimes it's maybe just Yahweh wants to lay something on your heart just to say to someone that you love that can encourage them today. You know, maybe even a word of caution, you know, that you actually, you're going a little bit down the wrong path. What is the now word of Yahweh? This is your challenge on the Restoration Hour today. It's a beautiful challenge. It's one that we all need. What is the now word of Yahweh for your life? And how do I know what the now word of Yahweh is? You know, one of the most prolific questions that we get asked is, how do I hear the voice of God? Not so, Yusuf.
Amen. I think, you know, Leah, that's, I think, is one of the things that people struggle with is, how do I hear the voice of Yahweh? But also, you know, Yahweh, when last did I hear from Him, or what are You saying to me now? And I think because we have this lack of intimacy with the Father, or we have this lack of believing that we can hear directly from Him and that He speaks to us, we tend to then listen to every other kind of voice, which is not necessarily bad. There is this importance that Yahweh has given us teachers and people to guide us and to lead us. But there is also this necessity, as we are growing and as we mature, that we hear the voice of Yahweh for ourselves. And I think many people fear that. They fear, am I really hearing the voice of Yahweh? Is He really speaking to me? Can I really hear? And when they begin to practice and begin to exercise this intimate relationship with the Father, or this communion is a better word, with the Father, there comes this understanding of how Yahweh speaks to you. And Yahweh will speak different to you than He speaks to me. But it's a matter of putting into practice this desire that you have to pray and to hear the Father's voice. If we don't put it into practice, then we tend to pray, and we have, you know, as human beings, we're very good at praying, but we're not always so good at listening and receiving from the Father. And I think that Yahweh wants us to understand that it's a two-way correspondence. It's a two-way communication that He desires from us. And sometimes He takes us quietening ourselves and our wants and our needs, and really listening and allowing the Father to speak to us. And there's many ways, like you said, that He can speak to you. He can speak to you through your spouse. He can speak to you through your child nature. He can speak to you through all kinds of different ways. But it's important for us, and I think it comes down to having the Spirit of Yahweh in your life, the Spirit of Yeshua with you, to be able to discern His voice. And that's the word. I think the key word is that we need to discern His voice.
Hmm. And importantly, Yahweh's voice, when He speaks to you with inside of you, His voice sounds like your voice.
Hmm.
You know, when I hear Yahweh speak, it has a similar speaking, similar tone, similar kind of feel as my own voice. You know, and it's not like it's Yahweh's voice to me doesn't sound like Yosef's voice inside my head. It doesn't sound like that beautiful, you know, Bible program that we have where there's that James Earl Jones that's with his strong voice. It's like, you know, and God said, it doesn't sound like that. If only it did, then we would be well assured. Yes, this is You. You're speaking to me. But, you know, it sounds so much like our voice, and we can trust that. You know, a lot of times as well, we get asked the question often, I read the word and I come to understanding, but then I start to wobble. You know, I believe I've received some sort of understanding that God has indeed spoken to me, but no, I walk away from that and I doubt. You know, that's often the enemy. When you receive a revelation of truth, you know, oftentimes the enemy will try and come and steal that. He will try and steal that experience, try and steal that now word for you, especially if you're going through a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to say this today. I want to say that hearing the voice of Yahweh is not the same to teaching. It's not the same to having a mentor. It's not the same as having someone speak into your life. No, hearing the voice of Yahweh is just a normal, should be a normal thing. If we're in relationship with Him, it should be normal. For anyone who has the love language of quality time, like I do, knows and understands that having a conversation with your spouse is key to feeling loved. You know, a conversation that where the other person's listening to you and they're making eye contact with you and they're involved in your conversation and they speak back to you. It's almost like you're playing a tennis match. You're bouncing the ball back and forward, you know, just very fluidly. That is how it is in our normal relationship. So that's how it should be with Abba Father. It's normal to hear the voice of Yahweh, and it should be normal to hear the voice of Yahweh. Anyone who's truly saved, who has, as the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit as that guarantee that we are children, sons and daughters of God, we should be hearing Yahweh's voice. Now, you know, this is, it's just something that should be part of our everyday life.
I agree with you. You know, I think also earlier that for many people, I think this confusion comes in of, you know, when we hear the Father's voice, it's important for us in our own quiet times and in our own walk with the Father. But it also cultivates and teaches us how to hear the voice of Yahweh so that we are able to be an effective witness in the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, yes, that we hear the word of Yahweh being proclaimed and preached and those kind of things, because it builds the body up. But when we spend time with the Father and we pray and we're actually hearing the voice of the Father, we begin to be able to understand and discern and recognize the different giftings that we have. And if the Father has gifted you, who's listening, for example, to be able to speak those words to someone else, for example, the gift of prophecy or word of knowledge or even a word of encouragement, it's important that we define, or not define, but that we discern the voice of Yahweh in our own lives first, so that when we go out and we have to do those things by faith, that we've recognized His voice. That way we are able to easier define or discern His voice and be able to act on it promptly. So it's like the same as, you know, when you pray for people, like you said, Yahweh's voice is normally very similar to our own voice. And when we pray for people, it's just that discernment and that understanding by faith that this is now the Father speaking. And when we get into that point where we've established a relationship with the Father and there's this back and forward, then it becomes way easier. There'll still be doubt. Oftentimes there'll still be doubt, but it's almost as if that reassurance of this is the Father speaking is easier, and then we are able to use our giftings easier with greater faith and greater surety because of this understanding. So hearing the voice of Yahweh is actually one of the most important things that a believer needs to understand and practice and kind of be in communion with the Father. And not just, like we said, praying on your own, but receiving from Him. Because by doing that, it sharpens our giftings. It helps us to understand who He is. It also helps us to understand who we are and how we use those giftings and how we activate those things. It's very, very important.
I think it's very important as well. You raise an important point there that, you know, it's not just about talking, and so much of the what we've been taught, especially about prayer, is that, you know, we need to intercede and we do need to intercede. We do need to pray for others and we do need to pray for things. And we also need to be able to listen. And that is why, you know, it's so been twisted by the enemy and by false religions and false beliefs of this whole aspect of meditation. You know, we see in the Torah, we see when, you know, Jacob's bride is coming down the road. Not Jacob, Isaac's bride is coming down the road. You know, Isaac is out in the field and he's busy meditating. And he's busy, it says that he's actually meditating in the field. No, this is not, you know, crossing your legs and holding your fingers together. This is a sense of just being still in the Father's presence. It's something that I find a lot of people don't do, that sense of being still, because it has been twisted. I believe it's been twisted by the enemy because it's so important. It's such an important aspect of being with the Father. Oftentimes we've been taught, you know, put music on, praise and worship. And yes, we need to do that. And I love music as well. But there is a time, you know, for that quietness. And I want to say that some people are more attuned to being with Yahweh in a stillness and in a quietness than others. Highly sensitive people, you know, with a very strong discernment often and with a lot that they can sense and feel, are very naturally more tuned to Yahweh in the stillness than others. And it's just a discipline to learn. How do I hear the voice of Yahweh? You know, it is just about, it's this interaction. Yes, there's time for me to pray, but there's also time for me to hear. So again, my question that I ask you this evening that we are starting off this restoration hour with is the question of that Yahweh is saying to me today to say to you, what is the now word of God in this season of your life? What is He saying to you? Now, I want to read some scripture to you today. We often think that we only have to learn the voice of Yahweh. Like the people, oftentimes those holy people in the Bible, they just got it, right? They just knew, they just understood, especially the prophets. Like they just heard Yahweh. They were just anointing David. They were just prophesying to power. You know, they were just, Isaiah was just speaking to all the kings. You know, Zechariah was just telling us the end times. We look at it and we go, wow, you know, they're just so fluid. They work so well. But it's only because, we have their words written down. Mm-hmm. But 1 Samuel chapter 3 has a beautiful story, and I want to share this with you today. So 1 Samuel 3 from verse 2 says, "One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God, which had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of Yahweh where the Ark of the Covenant was." So Samuel obviously was lying, you know, He's not lying in the Holy of Holies. Mm. Let's just make that clear. But he's lying in a place with the other priests where they're pretty close to the ark. And then it says, then Yahweh called Samuel. Samuel answered and said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said to him, I did not call, go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, Yahweh called and said, Samuel. So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I really did not call you. Go back and lie down. He must have got really irritated with this kid. Now, Samuel did not yet know Yahweh. The word of Yahweh had not yet been revealed to him. This is powerful. Yahweh called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then only Eli realized that Yahweh was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Yahweh, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and he lay down in his place, and Yahweh came and stood there calling as at the other times. He said, Samuel, Samuel, and then Samuel said, speak, Yahweh, for your servant is listening. I just feel so overwhelmed, you know, with emotion when I read this. There's so many things that come out here. Firstly, we, like I said, often think that the people in the Bible just got it. You know, Samuel was living in a culture where Yahweh's voice was foreign. Yahweh's voice was this, you know, reality that people weren't really hearing anymore. Part of that we know was because Eli and his sons especially, we know the Bible says, were incredibly wicked and were doing bad things, and that Eli didn't reprimand them, and he himself was going astray in his heart, and that Yahweh, you know, was not really a part of what they were doing, even though they were serving right there in Yahweh's temple, supposed to be the priests, supposed to be telling the people this is what Yahweh says, supposed to be those mediatories between Yahweh and the people, and they're not doing any of those things. And it sounds very much like our generation. This is a generation where the voice of Yahweh is foreign. It's where even, you know, children who are raised by righteous parents, Hannah was a righteous woman. She prayed that she would have a child. She gave birth to Samuel. She said, you know, Yahweh, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to you for the rest of his life. She came, she fulfilled that vow. She dedicated him at the most holy place on earth. Think about it, at that time. And yet, they still... This child that's raised by a righteous parent to know Yahweh, is dedicated to Yahweh. You know, you're actually really holy. I mean, you've been dedicated. You know, your birth is a miracle. You were called by God, and yet the voice of God has not yet been revealed to you. You know, it is so true that we often put a lot of pressure on ourselves to get it right, to be like, how is Yahweh speaking to me? Like, what is God saying to me? And it's so important for us to hear his voice. But oftentimes, if we don't, or we don't know how, it's okay as well. Because there's a key here in what Samuel does. It's actually very beautiful, because all he says is, speak, Yahweh, for your servant is listening. If next time you are praying and you're not getting an answer, if you are going through a hard time and you don't know what Yahweh is saying to you, you're trying to hold on, but you just don't have any strength. You know, you pray in the words of Psalm 23 all the time because it's all you have, because Yahweh hasn't spoken to you, because you're sitting in the darkness and there's no real light for your path. Or if you just need to know which job to take, which path to walk, which relationship to end, where to go with your life. What is this? What we need to often do is just stop and say, speak, Yahweh, for your servant is listening. Amen. And lean in to that stillness. We said it earlier on, just a few minutes ago. If we say, speak, Yahweh, your servant is listening, that requires us to respond. And our response to that is, speak, because I am doing what? I am listening. Mm-hmm. I think Yosef and I really probably have quite a big testimony about this, because in the beginning of our marriage, Yosef wasn't a very good listener because his mind used to wander a lot. And I used to always say, you're not listening to me. Now, I said earlier on that my love language is quality time, right? So that requires a very high level of listening from the other person. And you could learn to listen, right, Yosef? It's a learning thing that we learn. So too, it's very important to bring that into our relationship with Yahweh, not so? We can learn to listen. Mm-hmm. because we say, speak Yahweh, I want to hear you.
And also, you know, Elia, like we said in the beginning, we have a tendency to want to speak to him so often, and we lack the ability as human beings sometimes to just say, you know, open my ears so that I can hear. Sometimes the ears are a little bit, you know, closed in, and even tonight, like we said, I got an ear infection and I can't hear. But the truth of the matter is sometimes we need that to be unblocked, and we need to be able just to sit and listen. And I think that oftentimes, because we live in a world of do, and perform, whether it be at work, or whether it be at home, or whatever it is, we always have to be on top of our game. But with Yahweh, it doesn't always work like that. And I think we think as human beings that we have to be on top of our game with the Father. But sometimes he puts you in a situation where you are not able to do anything else but rest and listen. And if we're not willing to listen, sometimes, you know, you'll end up being sick, or you'll end up being in your bed, or you'll end up, you know, being in a place where you have to listen and there's no one else around you at work, or there's no one else around you at home. And then you're forced to just listen, because the Father, and we have to understand this, Yeshua and Yahweh, they love to talk to us, and he wants to share things with you. And that's why, you know, it's so important, I think, as believers, as we grow, and not only grow, but as we have our quiet times with the Father, it's important to have a notebook. It's important to have some kind of form of way that you make notes or write things down, whether he's talking to you or whether you prayed about something. Because so often we say to ourselves in our minds, oh, well, you know what, Yahweh, I'm praying about this thing, but you never answered me. But actually, if you go down and you write it in a piece of paper with a date next to it, and you sometimes go back, you'll probably find that somewhere along the line, those prayers have been answered. You just didn't see in the way that it was answered, because you were looking for something totally different. And Yahweh answers prayers sometimes in a totally different way than what we expected. And if we make those notes and we look, we'll come to see Yahweh is really talking to us in a profound way. And it grows your faith when you see those things. We just have to be aware of it and understand it.
And Yosef, Yahweh speaks to us for other people too. And I think that is something we are missing in our generation.
Mm.
When last did someone else, and I say this to the people listening, when last did someone else, maybe you've been blessed to experience this recently, but when last did someone else actually send you a message and say, you know what, you were laid on my heart today or during my prayer time, and God wants you to know this? When last did you get something like that? You know, maybe you're surrounded by some really wonderful people and you get that often. And if you are, that is very, very rare. It is rare in our generation for people to really have that. But we will never know the impact of that. We will never really know the impact of what that means to someone else. If you are truly, you know, I want to urge you a word of caution here, not to do that in your flesh and not to just pretend you hear the voice of Yahweh when you don't, and just send someone something random. You know, we need to know, like we said earlier on, and discern that Yahweh is really speaking to us, and that he lays something into your spirit for someone else, and you can share that with them. You know, maybe on a private message, maybe through, you know, messenger, whatever. It is so important. I believe that the body of Messiah Yeshua was doing that prolifically throughout the book of Acts. We see it. I mean, Barnabas, you know, his actual name was not Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Because what was Barnabas? That was what he was. He would encourage people. We saw that he actually gives prophecies in the book of Acts that are recorded. Encouragement to the body of Messiah. You know, his name was something completely different, but people recognize that gifting in him. Not only do we then need to hear the voice of Yahweh for ourselves, it is for others. Yahweh wanted to reveal his voice and his person to Samuel. The first actual thing that he said to Samuel, when Samuel says, yes, I'm listening, he actually gives Samuel a word and says, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything that I spoke against his family. Mm. Imagine how intense that is. Samuel is being mentored by Eli, the older priest that he looks up to as a father. And yet the very first word that Yahweh ever prophetically gives him is that you must speak against this man. You must speak against the man, you know, that you consider a father and a mentor. You must tell him that I am about to do everything that I prophesied that I would do. And this is your word, Samuel. You don't know my voice. I've never been revealed to you. I'm revealing myself to you now, and this will be your first mission. That is insane, Yosef, to consider that. Before we go to a song, I'm going to end off with saying this, end of this scripture with saying this. Yahweh loves you. Your God loves mm-hmm. you and he loves me. You know what? He called to Samuel the first time and Samuel didn't recognize his voice. But you know what Yahweh does? He doesn't give up on him. He doesn't revoke the call of Samuel because, oh, Samuel didn't respond to me the first time. He doesn't even, you know, revoke the call of Samuel because he didn't listen to him the second time or even the third time. Yahweh consistently comes. It is how we respond that matters. Yahweh is consistently, only on the fourth time does Samuel recognize, okay, actually, yes, your servant is speaking, because Yahweh is always drawing near to us. And it's not just because Samuel was called to be a great prophet. It was because Yahweh loved him mm-hmm. and had, you know, chosen him in the same ways that he has chosen you today and this evening and tomorrow and in your future and in your past. He chose you. That's why you're here. That's why you love him and you serve him. So he's always consistently trying to draw near to you to say, you know what? I want to speak to you. I want to tell you something. It might be for someone else. It might be for you. It might be for your family. It might be hard. It might be easy. Whatever it is, what is the now word that Yahweh is speaking to you today that he wants you to take in to tomorrow? And so we're going to go to the song. It's called I'm Listening. I pray that Yahweh's voice will just minister to you during the song, and we'll continue when we get back.
When you speak, confusion fades. Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid. 'Cause you speak, and freedom reigns. There is hope in every single word you say. So quiet my heart, I'm listening.
'Cause everything you say is life to me. I don't wanna miss one word you speak. So quiet my heart, I'm listening.
Isn't that just such a great song? Welcome back to the Restoration Hour. We're talking about hearing the voice of Yahweh this evening. And, you know, Leah, you started off and you said this evening to each one of us, when last did you hear from Yahweh? Or when last did he speak to you? And I think it's important. Or when last did you have a now word? That was the actual words that you said. And I really believe that it's imperative, and we've said this, I think, so many times, but it's imperative that as believers, that we don't run on yesterday's revelation, but that we continue to ask the Father to reveal himself to us in new ways, with greater understanding of his word and greater understanding of who we are and the role that we play as people in this world right now. Because if we're still looking on or reading and you know, listening to things from 3 years ago, then we are out of tune and we are out of step. And that's why it's so important to hear the voice of Yahweh. But I also want to say this evening again, hearing the voice of Yahweh is not just for us. You know, Samuel, we read about Samuel, and you know, when he was a young boy, he was dedicated to the Father for a purpose. His mother brought him to the temple, and Samuel, he doesn't even understand yet who he actually is in the fullness. He also doesn't actually understand the voice of Yahweh. But as Yahweh begins to talk to him and reveal to him, you know, his plan, Samuel begins to grow. And you know, when you go and you read about Samuel's life and you read about all the kings that he served, 3 generations, Samuel was there for 3 generations of kings, and he was there by Yahweh for a purpose, to resound, as you would say, almost to blast the trumpet, to speak up when everybody else was following pagan ways and pagan gods. Samuel was there, and he learned what it meant to hear the voice of Yahweh. He didn't waver in his duty. He also didn't waver in who he was as a person, but it started out where he never even knew truly who Yahweh was and the voice of Yahweh. And by listening, he grows into being this person that has the voice of Yahweh not only within him, but is able to proclaim the word of Yahweh. Not only, and you know what's important with Samuel? He's not only proclaiming it to the people, but he's proclaiming it before kings. He's actually going to them and saying, "So saith Yahweh," because he had a refinement that took place in him from a young boy. And Yahweh began to speak to him and reveal to him who he was. And I think, you know, we want to be the Samuel that's already, you know, the Samuel of old, right in the beginning. And it takes a process. Samuel's life speaks to us about, as we said, generations of serving Yahweh and being the person that he was, right up until the point where he was willing to even kill in order for Yahweh to you know, not to kill them. And it's important that we get to understand Yahweh's voice is for us to grow. But when we grow, then we become agents of Yahweh's power and Yahweh's voice, and we are able then to share that with others. So hearing the voice of Yahweh is so important, Eliah, and it's so important to stay in that place where we really listen and where we really obey.
And yes, Samuel willing to kill, you know, when kings failed to do what Yahweh said, him taking care of, you know, the Agagites, because Saul failed to kill their king, kept the king and queen alive. But we know the queen got away and that she was pregnant. And this is how the story of Esther came along with Haman. And we know that actually, you know, that, you know, disobedience leads to this. And Samuel willing to go so far because he knew what was required. He knew that being obedient to the voice of Yahweh and to what Yahweh was saying was so important. From one prophet to another, I want to take you to 1 Kings 19. And you know, this is actually a story that we actually know pretty well, but I want to read it to you again this evening. I want to highlight a few new things because I believe that it's something that Yahweh is sharing with us this evening and sharing with you this evening. 1 Kings 19, we meet the great Elijah. Now, you know, Elijah probably needs no introduction. It's like there is actually a show, I think, on TV that says like my next guest needs no introduction. So Elijah is one of those biblical characters, like legitimately needs no introduction. Here we have him having that experience, you know, with the prophets of Baal. Afterwards, he runs away. Jezebel threatens to kill him. Elijah is very afraid and he runs for his life. And we know that he actually says to Yahweh, I've had enough, you know, take my life. I'm not worth anything. I'm no better than my ancestors. And Yahweh sends an angel to touch him and to, you know, just to have a bit of a rest. And then the angel says, get up and eat, you know, a few times. And this is so very important because the angel says to him that the journey is too much for you. You know, that is obviously speaking on different levels, but physically, Elijah was going to have to travel from where he was to a specific place. And in verse 8 of 1 Kings 19, it says, Elijah got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. So Yahweh wanted him to physically move from where he was, you know, to the mountain of God. We actually know that that journey was 200 miles, which is probably just over 100 kilometers. So therefore, the angel saying to him, the journey is too much for you, is actually very true. Elijah had to walk that whole way. And when he gets to the mountain of God, you know, this place that is considered very holy, very significant in the history of Israel, the word of Yahweh comes to him and speaks to him. And it's so important that we realize something about this. Yahweh actually says to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of Yahweh, for I am about to pass by. Now I want to pause there. Elijah has had this, you know, experience. We know that now he's discouraged. He's upset. He's sad. Life is a bit difficult for him. He's wanted to die. The angels come and strengthen him. He's traveled this long journey to, because Yahweh's desire was for him to go to the mountain of God, Horeb. And then Yahweh says he must, you know, come up on this mountain, stand on the mountain, and then Yahweh's going to pass him by. I just want to pause there and say something very significant. You know, Elijah was no stranger to the mighty work of Yahweh. If anything, Elijah was the prophet that Yahweh used most prolifically besides, you know, his mentee, Elisha, who would come later. He was one of the prophets that were used so mightily by Yahweh. He was used to signs and wonders and fire from the heaven and tiny little cloud coming up out of the sea, suddenly developing into this massive thunderstorm that broke famine. And, you know, just the power, the miracles, the might, the workings of Yahweh. It's kind of like, hey, you know what? When I said you see fire, Elijah's like, well, I just saw it an hour ago. You know, Yahweh just works like that in my life, you know. And maybe we get people like this in the world today, you know, where they're just like, oh, you know, God just works like that in my life. You know, he just does these mighty things. Elijah was used to seeing God like that. But Elijah also knew the history of his people. He understood and knew the history of how Yahweh works. This is Horeb. This is Mount Sinai. Yosef, what has happened on Mount Sinai? Firstly, Moses experienced the burning bush on this mountain in Exodus 3 verse 1. Later in Exodus 19, 20 and 21, we have the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the Torah. How did that happen? With thunder, we are told, with lightning, with rocks being pulled out of the mountain, with the signs, the wonders, and the miracles of God. I'm sure Elijah kind of felt, well, God is calling me to go 200 miles that way to that specific mountain, and he's telling me to stand on this mountain. He's going to pass by me. Surely there's going to be some wonder now. Because I've seen it before, I'm used to him working like that, and he's probably going to do it again. You know, he's going to come down, the thunder's going to be there. And this is why it is so significant.
He's probably thinking, man, it happened to Moses, it can happen to me.
What's going to happen to me? Yahweh is going to show himself to me in the way, number one, that I'm used to. Because, you know, I just had this experience with the prophets of Baal, plus I just killed 400 of them, plus fire just came out of the sky. I mean, he's definitely gonna roll up like that again. You know, that's the God that I know. That's the God that I serve. That's how he speaks to me. I'm Elijah. That's how I understand him, because that's my design. You know, we all designed uniquely. And then secondly, like you said, he spoke to Moses like this. But then it goes on and it says, you know, verse 11, Yahweh said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of Yahweh, for Yahweh is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before Yahweh. This is just like it was on Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. This is why this passage is so significant. It says, but Yahweh was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Come on, an earthquake. Think about it. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. You know, Elijah had just seen a fire. Surely Yahweh must be in this fire. He was in the fire just 2 days ago. Think about it. But Yahweh was not in the fire. I want to say this to you. You know, we often have experiences with Yahweh that are powerful. You know, often Yahweh speaks to you today in a certain way. Or he's spoken to someone else in a certain way. And you know that this person has received from Yahweh in this way. So you think that is how God speaks. This is how Yeshua shows up. But maybe, just maybe, that's how Yahweh speaks to that person. And maybe, just maybe, that situation required that. Yahweh spoke through the thunder and the lightning to Moses on Mount Sinai because the people had to behold his glory. But, you know, Elijah didn't need that right now. What did Elijah need? Elijah was burnt out. He was discouraged. He was depressed. He wanted to die. He was lonely because he said, Yahweh, I'm the last of the prophets. Actually, that wasn't even true. It's not even true. There were like 7,000.
That's right.
That's a big number. For you to feel that means that Elijah felt alone. So what do you need when you feel alone, discouraged, downcast, like you want to die, burnt out, messed up in your brain, broken hearted in your heart? You don't need fire. You need intimacy. Because that is what Yahweh does. Because it says there that, you know what? After the earthquake, the fire, Yahweh was not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. And guess what? You know, when someone whispers, you have to actually lean in order to hear that whisper. You know, Yahweh is beckoning to Elijah to come closer to me. Come closer to me because I want to give you something. I want you to be so close to me. Just like John, it says at the Last Supper, and I love this, that John leaned against Yeshua's breast. He was so close to Yeshua that he could hear Yeshua's heartbeat. That is why John became the love disciple that writes so much more prolifically about love than anyone else, because he understood Yeshua's love. Why? Because he was close to him in an intimacy of closeness, physically and also spiritually, in a holy intimacy. Yahweh is saying to Elijah, I know you've experienced me like this before, but that's not what you need right now for your situation today. You know, we can experience Yahweh in the miracles. We can behold his glory. But maybe today that's not what we need. Maybe today what you need is come here, lie on my chest. I want to be with you in this intimacy. And guess what? Elijah's in this cave and there's this earthquake and there's fire and there's thunder. And you know, that happened before. But now there's a gentle whisper. And that's the only thing, actually, Yosef, that Elijah responds to. Because it said when Elijah heard this whisper, he pulled his cloak up over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice of Yahweh spoke to him. Elijah actually didn't respond to the fire, the thunder, or the earthquake. He responded to the gentleness of Yahweh. The gentleness of Yahweh is something so beautiful, and it's something that we need for our hearts. And this brings me to saying to you that, you know what, in your season right now, when we say, what is the now word of Yahweh for your life? The now word of Yahweh for your life is different in every season that you experience. Amen. It's not going to be maybe even how Yahweh spoke to you last season, because you need something different now. You're in a different place in your life right now. And you know, that could be a wonderful place. You could be at a place of joy and breakthrough and, you know, goodness. And so Yahweh needs to speak to you in a different way. You know, he's speaking to you in joy. He's speaking to you in goodness. He's speaking to you in happiness. And you can experience that with him, and he speaks to you in that way. Or you can need him to be the fire and the thunder and the earthquake, and he will respond that way, and he will do that just like he did with Moses, just like he did with Israel, just like he did here with Elijah. It's dependent on your season, dependent on your heart, dependent on what you need, and dependent on who you are. I want to say that Yahweh speaks to you in a language that your heart can understand. His language that he speaks to you is different than the language he speaks to me. But yet, he speaks to us all in the way that we can understand. And he speaks to you in the season where you are, and also where you have a need. And sometimes that need is not very, you know, evident. Sometimes you may be thinking, I need wisdom from Yahweh about my work situation. And then Yahweh rocks up in your quiet time and speaks to you about some father wounds that you have from when you were like 5 years old. And you get very frustrated about this because you're like, Yahweh, I really need an answer for my work situation. This father wound has got nothing to do with it. Like, why are we speaking about this? I want to tell you, this has happened to me. It happened to me the first day I met Yosef. I've shared this on the Restoration Hour before, being in a really broken relationship that I had carried wounds from, and yet crying and asking Yahweh, why did things go wrong and why is it so messed up? And Yahweh speaking to me about my father wounds from my childhood, and me being really angry and being like, Yahweh, the two have got nothing to do with one another. Well, I want to tell you the reason that I stayed in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in for long, even though I was saved and Yahweh told me to get out of it, was because I had father wounds. But because I was so broken, I couldn't see that. You know, sometimes Yahweh speaks to you about something and it makes no sense. It doesn't seem related to your situation. It is so related to your situation because Yahweh knows so much more than you know. You know what? Maybe Elijah didn't even know what he needed. But the only thing that he responded to was the gentle whisper of Yahweh. And also I want to say, lastly this evening, I'm going to close with this. You know, Yahweh actually says to him, you know, when Elijah comes out of the cave, then the voice of Yahweh says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, and he has this conversation with Yahweh, and then Yahweh says to him, you know what? Go back the way you came, go to the desert. When you get there, anoint so-and-so, so-and-so, anoint Elisha, anoint this guy, anoint that guy.
He's just traveled so far.
Yeah. And you know what? Yahweh gives him a great commission where he has to now go and anoint four people. These are going to be new leaders, you know, and it's also going to be Elijah's person that's going to take over from him, Elisha, someone who would become so incredibly powerful. And then Yahweh also tells him, you know what, Elijah, I know that you feel alone, but I reserve 7,000 in Israel. There are 7,000 people who have not bowed down to Baal, and they have not kissed the statue of Baal. In other words, he's not just giving Elijah the new commission. He's also saying, Elijah, you're not alone. Not only am I with you in this gentleness, but there are 7,000 like you. Don't be discouraged. Keep going. You know, that's the other part of hearing Yahweh's voice. Even though Elijah had been through such a powerful, powerful thing with the prophets of Baal, and they went through such a terrible, terrible time of being so brokenhearted, it didn't stop the call of Yahweh on his life. When we go through hard times, when we feel like, you know, we want to die, or, you know, I'm depressed, or I'm sad, or I'm anxious, or I'm burnt out, or I'm discouraged, I just need some rest, or I just need whatever. It doesn't take the call and the voice of Yahweh from us. Yahweh meets us in those places. Having and hearing the voice of Yahweh is not about being perfect or always at the top of your game. Yahweh's voice is evident, like his word says, I am close. In Psalm 84, I think it is, I am close to the brokenhearted. That is where his voice draws near. It's not about getting to a place so you can hear God's voice. You know, oh, got to be perfect. No, Samuel didn't even know Yahweh. He didn't even know who Yahweh was. But Yahweh still spoke to him. But it's just about opening up our hearts, knowing that God's not going to speak to you maybe in the same way he did yesterday. But he's always speaking to you. He's not going to maybe speak to you in the way he spoke to someone else, or he speaks to someone else, but he's speaking to you in your unique way that you can understand. And that is exactly the same. And he always wants to speak to us. So again, what is the now word that Yahweh wants to say to you today? What is the message that he wants to give you? Is it hope today? Is it encouragement today? Is it a word for someone else today? What is that now word of Yahweh that he wants to speak to you today? And Yosef, you know what? I think also before we get into that time of prayer, I think that we need to go to a really nice song to just, you know, maybe take a few minutes to be in the presence of Yahweh so that we can just maybe say, Yahweh, what are you saying to me today? And I want to give that to you, give that moment to you to just sit there and even just say, Yahweh, your servant is listening, you know, speak to me. So we're going to play this song, a nice, gentle, quiet song, so that you can hear that voice of Yahweh.
Amen. And we really want you to just sit and pray and ask the Father just to speak to you. You know, Aaliyah, like you said this evening, you know, Elijah was in a place that was different, a place that Yahweh brought him to so that he could be a changed person and that he could become a different person in the end too from what he was. And like you say, so often we go to places or we go to listen to other people talking because, you know, we think that we need the thunder or we think that we need, you know, these loud, audible voices. And sometimes the Father wants to take you into a new season where he really just wants to speak to your heart and also get you ready so that you can be a testimony to others. And I really do pray this evening that if you're listening, that you'll take the time as we play this song to really ask the Father to speak to you and to allow him to minister to you. And when we come back, if there's any prayer requests, we'll pray for that. And we'll also pray for just you and your family and trust the Father. You know, I also believe that as we getting ready now, you know, prepare ourselves for Shavuot. Shavuot is a time where we pray and we ask the Father to fill us with His Spirit. But, you know, the Spirit is given to us so that we can be in communion with the Father. So it's imperative that we hear His voice, but that we're also asking. You know, Yeshua says, He says, if you ask, you know, don't come and ask, you know, if you lack wisdom, then ask for it. If you lack anything, then we should ask for it. So if we struggle to hear His voice, then we should ask Him, Father, fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to hear You clearer and give me that ability to quiet myself. That's important. We need to learn to quiet ourselves and allow the Father to speak.
Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you this evening that you are living Elohim. Father, that you are not an idol that we pray to, Father, that we bow down to, that does not speak to us, Father, but that you are living Elohim that desires, Father, intimacy and communion with us. And Father, I pray this evening that each and every person, Father, that has been with us, Father, that they will have ears to hear, Father, that their ears will be so open, Father, to your voice. And Yahweh, that in the times, Father, where life is hard and things are difficult, Father, I pray that you will really minister to them, Father, and speak to their hearts and help them, Father, to just be strengthened, Father, by your voice. I also want to thank you this evening, Father, that you have given us your Spirit, Father, a Spirit that guides us into all truth. And Father, I want to pray for your people, Father, that you will fill them with your Ruach, Father, more and more. And Father, that in this generation, Father, that we will have an intimate relationship with you that will cause us, Father, to have gifts inside of us, Father, that will ignite a passion and a fire, Father, so that we can go out into a generation, Father, that is so misled and so, Father, confused, Yahweh, and that we can be a light to them, that we can give words of encouragement, that we can give them words of prophetic nature, Father, and pray for them, Father, so that their eyes might be opened. Father, you said to us that greater things will happen in this generation, Father, that has ever happened before. So we pray for that this evening, Father, and we pray that, Father, that we will have you, Father, with us continually. And Yahweh, as Elijah, Father, needed you in the still small voice, Father, so often we also need you, Father, in times where things are difficult, Father. So I pray that if anyone is listening, Father, that is going through a difficult time, Father, that they will find you in the place where you are, the place where they need you, Father, whether it be in the thunder or whether it be in the quietness, Father, in the whisper. I pray, Yahweh, that they will be able to hear you, and Father, that you will encourage them again, that they are your children, that they have been created by you, and Father, that they have a purpose and a plan. And we thank you for this. Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory, and we pray, Father, for the week that lies ahead. We ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that it will be a week of fruitfulness, a week, Father, of discovery, and a week, Father, of drawing closer to you in every way that you want us to. So, Father, we thank you for your people, and we just pray your blessing upon them in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just want to pray and lift Lilycat up to you, Father, this evening. We pray that you will bless her, that you will strengthen her, that you will keep her, Father, that you will make your glorious face to shine upon her, Father. I pray, Father, that you will bring her every answer, Father, and every solution to every single thing, Father Yahweh, that she has need of, that she is asking, Father, any questions that she may have, Father, anything that she is thinking of, that, Father, you will bring the solutions, Father. I pray that, Father, she will feel such a revival in her heart, such a revival in her spirit, Father, in her body, Father, that she will be raised up, Father, by your Spirit, Father, that truly that revival and that goodness, Father, will just flow through her, Father, and that she'll feel like she is being lifted up on wings like eagles, Father. I pray for an increase in joy in her life, Father, that the joy of Yahweh will be her incredible strength. And Father, I just pray that joy will be multiplied to her, Father, that she will go out and rejoice, Father, and Yahweh, that your joy will just be made so manifest in her heart and life, in her home, in her life, Father, just in general, Father, in everything. We thank you for her, Father. We pray your blessing over her today, Father. May she just experience the nearness of your presence, Father, the revitalizing from your Spirit and the goodness, Father, of your heart and the joy that you want to increase to her. Father, we also just lift my release up to you. And Father, we pray for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your love and your passion, Father, just overflowing in her heart and in her life. Father, thank you that, Father, you have taken her from one place, Father, and you have moved her to a different place, Father, that you have traveled with her on a road that has been weary sometimes, Father, on a path and a journey that has been difficult. But Father, from where she has come, Father, to who she is today and where she is going, Father, is so glorious. And Father, we thank you for her life. We pray for an increase, Father, of your goodness in her life, Father. And I thank you that right now, Father, you are leading her. Her path, Father, is going through a wonderful place, Father, and it is winding into a beautiful forest, Father, filled with fruitful trees and with birds and with the sun shining and with grace, with mercy, with everything that is needed, Father, with this cool breeze and that gentle whisper, Father, that is just going to also just be such a blessing to her, Father, after walking a long, hard path, Father, out in the sun, Father, there's going to be this cool shade in the trees, Father, beneath that, Father, and just those beautiful things that you're going to bring and just that beautiful journey that you are leading her into now, Father. Thank you that her path is leading to that place, and that, Father, even now you are leading her there. And Father, we pray a blessing over her. We pray that you will keep her safe, Father, that you will keep every word, Father, that you've ever spoken to her, and the words you are giving her in this current season, the promises as well, the life speaking and life giving words that you are speaking into her heart, Father, that you will seal those up, that, Father, there will be no enemy snatching that, but Father, all of that will just bring life to her, new life in abundance. In the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach, we pray and we thank you, Father, for every family represented here today. We pray blessings over them, and we thank you, Father, as Father, we know that you're in control of all of our lives. You are leading us. You are guiding us. Thank you that you know exactly what we need today, and you are good, Father, and you are faithful. We praise you, Yahweh, and we give you all the glory in the mighty name of our Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, today. Amen.
Amen.
It has been so good to be with you all. It has been amazing to be here on the Restoration Hour. We pray that you will be blessed. Have a Shavua Tov. Can't wait to be with you next week. Same time, same place, and see you there.
Shalom.
Word of life, speak to my weary heart, strengthen my broken parts, lead me to your open arms. Word of truth, illuminate all these lies, the enemy speaks inside, and freedom I will rise, 'cause you called me out. You call me